Welcome to this audio sermon presented by Blue Letter Bible. Due to the fragile nature of cassette tape storage, a portion of the beginning of this teaching became inaudible. Fortunately, we do not believe any of the spiritual content or the applications contained within the rest of this message have been affected. We thank you for listening, and may the Lord richly bless the time you spend in His Word.
They conversed and reasoned that Jesus Himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were restrained, so that they did not know him. And he said to them, "What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad?" Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem, and have you not known the things which happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" They said to him, "The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, beside all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us when they did not find his body. They came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And some of those who were there went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. Then he said to them, 'O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?' And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them in all the scriptures the thing concerning himself. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, 'Stay with us, for it is toward evening, the day is far spent.' And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. They said one to another, 'Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road, and while he opened the scripture to us?' So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem, found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, 'The Lord is risen indeed, and has appeared to Simon.' And they told about the things that had happened on the road, and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread." Now, the first rule of interpretation is to find the purpose. Why, with this great event, the resurrection of Christ, would the Holy Spirit have this event recorded? What's the significance here? So two men are walking to Emmaus. Well, the purpose is this: to reveal that to believe in the resurrection requires divine revelation. To believe in the resurrection requires divine revelation. So I think the best approach to this passage is to ask a question. And the question is this: what do we learn about our salvation from the experience of the two men? So it hits home to us this morning. And what do we learn? We learn, first of all, that they were spiritually blind. here they are walking down that country lane. And the risen Lord Jesus Christ comes up and joins them, walking alongside them. And they cannot see him spiritually. And they do not know him. That is astounding. Why? Because they are spiritually blind. They cannot identify him. They could not see him. They did not know him. When we study other passages of Scripture, we understand this completely, because we learn in 1 Corinthians that the natural man, that is, the person just born here, receives the sin nature of Adam and lives in spiritual death. And that passage says, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness to him. Neither can he know them. In our natural estate, living in spiritual death, we cannot see and we cannot know, and neither do we want to. Something must take place with us. This in Scripture is called the doctrine of total depravity. It means that we are dead in sin. Sin has affected our mind, affected our emotions, and affected our will, so that we are totally depraved. We are dead in sin. Now, that's a description of these men, and it's the description of every unbeliever in this world. We learn that they were spiritually blind. And so we understand the condition of the unbelieving world this morning. They're living in spiritual blindness and spiritual death. Now, the second thing we learn here in this passage is that they received spiritual instruction. Look at verse 27. And as he was with them, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them in all the Scriptures the things concerning himself. Now, this must have been the most important Bible study in the history of the world. Just think of being there with these two men and having the Lord himself give you a Bible survey course. Why, this is better than 4 years of seminary, what these men were getting. He explained to them in all the Scriptures concerning himself. Here is spiritual instruction, which everyone needs. I think it's safe to say that in this day and age, that the greatest need in the churches of America is Bible instruction instead of entertainment when people go to church, and to learn about self-esteem. Rather, we need biblical instruction. That's what these men needed. We learn that they were spiritually blind. They needed spiritual instruction. Now, then, let's say, as they were there with this experience, an evangelist comes along and says, men, it's time to make your decision. You need to accept Christ as your Savior and trust in him. You don't have much time left, and you better do it now. You make your decision. Now, that's what's happening today. People are in spiritual death. They are in spiritual blindness and encouraged to do it on their own. And they cannot. But the glorious thing we learn is that they not only received spiritual instruction, but that their blind eyes were opened by the Lord. Beginning at verse 28. Look at verse 28. Then they drew near to the village, and while they were going, he indicated that he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, "Stay with us, it's evening. The day is far spent." He went in to stay with them. It came to pass that as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. Verse 31. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him. He vanished from their sight. Here is the most significant thing we could learn this morning. Their eyes were opened. Not on their own. They did not open their own eyes. The Lord opened their eyes. And after he opened their eyes, then they could see him. Then they could identify him, and then they could know him. And there is not a Christian in heaven or on this earth this morning that does not need this same experience. The Lord opened our eyes. What do we learn from these two men? Their eyes were blinded. They were living in spiritual blindness and spiritual death. They did not know Christ nor believe in him. But it was of the Lord in his grace and mercy to come to them and to reveal himself, open their eyes, and they believed in him. This is the greatest day in the life of these men. And what a great day is the life of any unbeliever living in spiritual death to have the eyes opened to see him and know him. Their blind eyes were opened by the Lord. This is Revelation. And we said that the purpose of this passage is to reveal that to believe in the resurrection requires divine revelation. These men did not come to believe in him because of the evidences. Now, across this country this morning and around the world, there will be the attempt to prove the resurrection. You cannot prove it. It must be personally revealed to you by the Lord himself. No one is living in unbelief for lack of evidence. There is more than abundant evidence for a person to believe if they could on their own. It must be revealed. There's the testimony of the women, the testimony of the apostles. Corinthians says that he appeared to above 500 people at once. And you go on and on with the empty tomb and all that took place. And you think of what it would be if he had not risen. There would be no church. There would be no reason to have any hope whatsoever. It's all dismal and doom, and there's nothing but death and the fear of eternity. He is alive. He did arise, and we believe it because it has been revealed to us by the Lord himself. Now, it simply says here, their eyes were opened and they knew him. And we know from the study of Scripture that this brings us to the doctrine of regeneration. When the unbeliever is living and walking on this earth, trying to live it up, trying to have fun, trying to do this or that. And God, by His grace, visits that unbeliever, and the Holy Spirit enters that unbeliever in spiritual death and gives him life. He gives life. He resurrects the spiritually dead and gives life. And He gives faith to believe and to trust in Christ for forgiveness of sin and the gift of eternal life. And He causes a response in that unbeliever. And it says of them, now they knew Him. And they could see Him. And they are a follower of Christ. An interesting comment here as they talk to themselves. Did not our hearts burn within us? There's something about the presence of Christ that gives us spiritual heartburn. And hopefully that's happening to us this morning. And we cannot just be here and ignore this passage of Scripture, or ignore the fact that the resurrection is an absolute. It is either or. Christ is dead or He is alive. No halfway. And you and I either believe that or we do not. If we do not believe, we are living in spiritual death. The Lord must visit us and open our eyes. Now that's what the Holy Spirit does. He gives life. He brings light. It becomes personal. We come alive. In the Christian living, we love Him, we serve Him, and it changes our life. Now we learn from these two men. They were spiritually blind. Their eyes were opened, not by themselves, but by the Lord. Now they see. And then we learn about their response, beginning at verse 31. In verse 31, we read, their eyes were opened, they knew Him, He vanished from their sight. They said to one another, did not our hearts burn within us while He talked with us on the road and while He opened the Scripture to us? So they arose that very hour, returned to Jerusalem, found the 11, those who were gathered together, and said, the Lord is risen indeed, and has appeared to Simon. And they told about the things that had happened on the road and how He was known to them in the breaking of bread. What is their response? They believe. And that is exactly what the Bible calls for in response. One time Peter and Silas were in jail. The Lord sent an earthquake, opened that jail. And the jailer came to Paul and said, what must I do to be saved? And Paul said to him, run down to the first church in Jerusalem, join that church, give your tithes and offerings, go to Bible study every night. No, he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. This is what occurred. They believed in Him. And then we learn that they gave witness to others. They went back to tell. And this is what the angel said to the women. Come and see where the Lord lay, and go and tell. And that is our privilege as we live on this earth, to give witness to the resurrection Christ. It's for us this morning. The resurrection has been revealed to us. We didn't figure it out. Why are we here to worship in Jesus' name? And we have thousands of neighbors around us who care less. Are we smarter? Are we better morally? No. God graciously revealed the truth of the gospel. We believe in Him because He opened our eyes. Well, we might say then, what is the message to the person who is in spiritual death and who is not yet a believer? Our message is this. Having been given spiritual instruction and being exposed to the death and resurrection of Christ, is this of interest to you? Do you care about your soul? Do you care at all about eternity and where you're going to be forever and ever and ever? Do you care that in your natural estate that you face suffering in hell forever? Do you care about that? Is that of interest to you? And they say yes. And we say, that's because God is already working in your heart, causing you to care. Do you desire this morning to put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for forgiveness and come alive and be born again and be assured in heaven? And they say yes. And we say the grace of God is working in your heart. Bow in prayer and cry out for mercy and ask God to give you faith to believe and trust in Him. Jesus said, "He who comes to me, I will never turn away." Isn't that great? And we know that if that person comes, it's because God has given them life and is opening blind eyes. We have the message of salvation to tell. And for those who believe, we cannot be confronted by this scripture and by the resurrection and not be filled with gratitude and appreciation for the fact that He opened our eyes. And this gratitude is life-changing. If it has gripped our hearts this morning, we'll never be the same, because that will be our way of life. And that way of life leads us to put Him first and to serve Him the rest of our life. What a marvelous thing that could be, as we close in prayer to ask God to be gracious to us this morning. Let's bow in prayer. Lord God Almighty, we thank You that You are in charge of salvation, and that You give salvation to those whom You please, to those whom You have chosen to believe. And we thank You that at the perfect timing You come to them, open blind eyes, give spiritual life to those who are dead, and bring about a faith that is life-changing and brings about forgiveness of sin and the gift of eternal life. We thank You for that. We thank You that in believing there is a gratitude and an appreciation that can hardly be expressed in words. We pray now that as we are gathered here, that you will visit each of us this morning with our own special personal need, wherever we are in life today, this Easter morning. We pray now, Holy Spirit of the living God, be present here and go from heart to heart and bring about a significant visitation in each of our hearts. And may it be to the honor and glory of our God, the exaltation of Christ, for our own personal good. We commit to you this Easter Sunday. Thank you for the message we have from Scripture and for the love and fellowship of family and friends. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.